passage from the Bible, so please keep that passage open in front of you. Page 434, if you've shut your Bibles. And let's ask God for help as we look at His Word. We need God's Spirit to teach us as we look at His Word together. So let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, please would you teach us, help us to understand you more and to know you better and to be in awe of you. Amen. Okay, so page 434, 1 Chronicles, chapter 29. Jane, I just wonder whether some might just need a little bit of help on the front row just to make sure that they can find it. That would be great. That's all right, you carry on. That's all right. Now, what's the context of this passage? This passage is an amazing passage where David declares God's praises. He begins in verse 10, he says, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting." And then he goes on in praise. "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor." And he's saying, "God, you're great, you're amazing." When was it that David was saying this? David was saying this as he was making a sort of collection for being able to build the temple. David had this great idea that he would build a house for God. Now, he knew that God doesn't need a house. God doesn't live in a house. But he wanted to make a building that would sort of honour God. And he wanted to build the temple. And God said, "Great idea, but you're not going to do it. Your son is going to do it." So David wasn't going to build the temple, but his son Solomon was going to build it. Well, you get towards the end of David's life, and David has got the plans for the temple drawn up, and he's also put a lot of wealth, a lot of his money and a lot of his possessions into making the temple. And then at the end, he gathers together all the leaders of Israel, all the leaders of the people, and he says to them, "You remember, I wanted to build this temple." And God said, "No, it's going to be your son." And David says, "I put loads of wealth into this, and now I'm putting all my personal possessions into this, all my personal wealth, a lifetime of savings," and he's saying, "I'm giving it all so that this temple could be built." And he says to the leaders of Israel, "Leaders, what about you?" And all the leaders of Israel, they give generously too. And so he gets up now in front of all the people, and he says, well, you would expect that he would say thank you to the people who've given, but he doesn't. He says, "Thank you to God." And he gives this wonderful prayer of praise to God. And there are three things we're going to look at from this passage. See, what is it that gets David so excited about God? Saying, "God, you're so amazing, you're so great." What is it that cuts right to his heart? Because we want to have that feeling about God as well. How do you get that feeling? How do you get that feeling of awe and wonder of God? Well, it's a work of God's Spirit doing it in us, but it's interesting what David says. What's the reason he gives for saying that God is so great? It's at the end of middle of verse 11. Just have a look in that verse. I'll read that verse through to you. See if you can see the reason why David is so overwhelmed with God. He says, verse 11 starts with "yours." It says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the splendor, and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours." Now, did you spot in that verse, what's the reason? What's the reason that David gives for saying that God is so great? Did you spot it? Tobes, did you spot it? Go on, then. Oh, fantastic. Are we on this one? Sorry, Ken. Give it a go. Because the earth is his. Exactly. Because not just the earth, although brilliant, but everything is his. Everything in heaven and earth is yours. That's what it says. Thank you, Toby. Now, what's our first point? So we say everything in heaven and on earth is yours. That's not our first point, actually. The first point is similar, though. First point is this. Everything belongs to God. That's what that verse says, isn't it? Everything in heaven and on earth. It's a way of saying everything, really, everything belongs to God. Now, when something belongs to you, I wonder how you show that it belongs to you. Let's say you've got something, and maybe, and I'm sure you'd never do this, but maybe you put it somewhere silly at school, and you lose it, and it goes into lost property. Now you're searching through the lost property. How do you know that the thing is yours? How will people know it's yours? Go on then, can someone shout out? How do you know? Go on, Sam. Sorry? Because you bought it? Yes, but how will other people know it's yours? Good one, that's true. Ben? Because it's got your name on it, because your mum or dad or someone else puts your name on it, hopefully. And therefore, you can look through and you can say, I know it's mine. Now, the thing is, about everything on earth, we'll come back to this point in a moment. It doesn't have God's name label on it, but it does all belong to God. Now, I thought we could correct this. I've got some name labels here on post-it notes. And I thought we could put post-it notes on everything that belongs to God. Is that a good idea? Great, we could put post-it notes. I need some helpers to come and help me. Yeah, come on. Right, my helpers, my minions. I'm only saying that because of Despicable Me, and we've got some minions there. Come on up. Right, now, I've got some post-it notes. I want you to put post-it notes on everything that belongs to God. In other words, on everything. Okay, so go around, take some, go for it, on everything that belongs to God. This could take a while. There you go. Go. You can give some out to people as well, because don't forget they belong to God. So post-it notes on everything that belongs to God. There you go. You take that lot. So we got some name labels. Okay, I'm going to give some to people out here as well. Then you can be doing it. Aaron, would you give them? Oh, hello. I see you found something that belongs to God that makes a noise. Ken, would you pass some along as well? People can put you, do put them on yourselves as well. Hesse, would you like some? I'm sure you would. There you go. Put some on some things. There we go. Would you like to pass them along, Jean? That's great. Do take some. Pass them on. Would you like to? I'll dot them around. Go for it. Here we go. Ayla, would you put some on? Pass them around to others. We put them on everything that belongs to God. I'm not suggesting that God could lose everything and therefore need to go to a lost property or anything. One for me. Thank you very much. Thank you. Can we pass? How are we doing? How are we doing? Yeah, we got some up here. You don't have any more? Here we go. I've got loads. You want more? How are we doing? I'm loving the fact that as I look out, I can just see a whole load of post-it notes. Okay, more? You know what? I'm going to run out in just a moment. More? Okay, more. Whoa. There you go. So, there you go. Well, right, I'm out. So when you've done the... Oh, these didn't have anything on them. Never mind. I don't have a pen to put it on. Well done. Thank you. Once you've done, do have a seat. Stanley, you might want to move it from in front of your eyes so you can see where you're going. Well done. Yeah, that's it. Put them everywhere. Lovely. Oh, on the screen. Nice. That obstructs. Well done. Keep going. Okay, when you're done, pop it down. Nice. I like it. Anyone put anywhere completely? Is that a fire hazard? I wonder. On my back, thank you. Great one. Okay, and now sit down. Well done. Thank you. Oh, we've got a few left there. Lovely. How many are on me? Oh, well done. You got one on there. Well done. Put another one there. You don't have one. There you are. You better have one. Have you got one on you? Thank you. I don't know why you're giving them back to me. Right, great. You want one. There you go, on there. Brilliant. Okay. Thank you. Now, sit back down on the microphone. Brilliant. Well done. I don't know how many I ended up with on me. I felt people putting them on my back, but there you go. Do have a seat. Well, thank you very much. Thank you to my helpers. And it's lovely to see out there a wonderful array of coloured post-it notes all saying that all those things belong to God. And all of you belong to God. Thank you, Robin. Very nice. Your sideburns belong to God. I'm loving it. Very nice. You see, the serious point there is, of course, everything belongs to God. Now, we don't necessarily see name labels on everything saying that everything belongs to God. You do in here. Although, of course, actually, we didn't even get half the stuff that actually belongs to God, because you'd have to put it on everything. That's the point of the verse, isn't it? Everything belongs to God. But not just everything in here, everything out there as well, and everything in your life. Your family belongs to God. Your money belongs to God. Your house belongs to God. Everything that you have and all that you are belongs to God. That's what that verse is saying. And therefore, it's wonderful. I think it's great how much stuff people have brought, how much you've brought for the food bank. Brilliant. But actually, you know, everything that you own belongs to God. Not just the stuff that you're willing to give, but everything that you own belongs to God. And the question is, do we live as if everything that we own belongs to God? What difference would it make to the way you live if you thought, you know what, all the stuff I've got, it doesn't really belong to me anyway. It all belongs to God in the first place. What difference would that make to the way you use your toys? The way you use your money? The way you use everything that you've got. Well, that's the first point. The first point is, everything belongs to God. The second point is in verses 12 and 13. And I've called it, your future is in God's hands. Let me show you from the verse. So verses 12 and 13. So back again in your Bibles. Page 434, verse 12 starts with the word wealth. It says, wealth and honour come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. Now, what in that verse says, what does that those verses say comes from God? What comes from God in those verses? Yeah, you happy to answer? Post-it notes everywhere. Brilliant. What comes from God? His name. Yeah, thank you. What else comes from God? Anyone else spot? Daniel? Sorry, Ken, we're on the handheld one as well.
Wealth and honour.
Wealth and honour. Anything else? Thank you. Thank you, Barbara.
Strength and power.
Strength and power. Yeah, and the power to exalt, to lift up. So all those things come from God, not from other things. Now, the thing is, we can tend to think that wealth and positions and power come from other things. I wonder if you've seen, little ones, you probably haven't seen this program, but there's a program called Dragon's Den. And the idea on Dragon's Den is that people will come in to the dragons. These are the dragons. These are known as the dragons. They're very wealthy people. And people will come into the dragons and they'll come in with their ideas, their things, and they'll say, I've got this fantastic idea for this new invention I've made. Will you give me money so that I can produce lots of it and sell it and make lots of money? And people will think they come in and they depend on these guys. Will they give them their money or will they not? Now, I've got an invention. I've got an idea. It's a really good idea. Mums and dads, this is an idea for you, and it's brilliant. You're going to think, as soon as you see it, you're going to think, why didn't someone think of that before? It's absolutely brilliant. You know when you've got your little baby, your little one, and you started eating solids, and you need to feed them, but you've got so many other jobs to do as well. And you can't be in every place at once, can you? And you're just thinking, I can't feed the baby and go and do this other thing. I can't be stretched in too many ways. This idea is for you. It's called the easy feeder, and it's this. Isn't it good? What do you think? Do you think the dragons would go for this? We've got a spoon on the end of there. And you think you can feed your child from the other side of the room? You think it's extendable, like that. Sort of. And you can feed your child. I could feed Ben from here. There you go, you see. Isn't that good? Mums and dads, if you were one of the dragons, wouldn't you invest in that? Frighteningly, there are some nods. Maybe we should have a separate meeting later on. I'm wondering whether some of you who said no, you're thinking, you know what, that's a bit impractical. I don't know. There may be some who are thinking that. And you're thinking, that'll never work. My kitchen isn't shaped like that. Well, don't worry. Don't worry. There's a whole range of these that you could make. I mean, there's possibilities all over the place here, you see. I thought, if your kitchen is shaped differently, maybe you've got to be out of the room at the time. You see, you could do a different one, and it would look a bit more like this. See? It just goes around the corner. Brilliant, you see? And there's a whole load of possibilities here. And I could go on Dragon's Den, and I could say, I've got my invention, the easy feeder. Will you invest? And I have a feeling we all know what the answer would be. Thank you. It would be no, wouldn't it? Okay. So you weren't so impressed with that idea. You see, people go onto that show thinking those dragons, they've got to persuade them to give them their money. And if the dragons will give them their money, then maybe they'll get rich. And maybe they'll earn lots of money and it'll all go really, really well. But what does the passage say about where wealth and success and all that kind of thing come from? They all come from God, really. Your future is in God's hands. You see, David, King David, had done really well. God had established him as king and he'd become really wealthy. Now, that wasn't because he'd had a good idea and taken it into the dragon's den. It wasn't because he got fantastic GCSEs. They didn't even have them then. You'd probably have loved that time, some of you. Not because he got good A-levels, not because he got a degree. Now, those things are good things to have. I'm not knocking them. They're good. But he didn't get all that wealth because of those things. What does David point to? He points to God and says, wealth comes from God. Similarly, Israel were doing really well. Them as a nation were doing really well. Now, how did that happen? Because of spending cuts? Because of economic, brilliance by their chancellor of whoever? No. It was all because of God. And that's what David is saying. Wealth comes from God. And therefore, your future is in God's hands. What you will be when you grow up, where you will live. We don't know the answers to these things, but God does. And therefore we need to trust him. But not just your future in this life. And he's not actually saying that wealth is everything. But not just your future in this life, but your eternal future. There's a verse in John chapter 3 which says, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. See, that's saying your future, your eternal future, where you will be forever, is in God's hands. And his promise is this. If you believe in the Son, if you put your trust in Jesus, then you will have eternal life. But if you don't, you won't. You see, even your eternal future, especially your eternal future, is all in God's hands. How should we respond? We'll think about that in just a moment. I'm going to hand back to Jim, who might have a post-it note on him. Great, thank you, and thank you for all the offers for investment. That was fantastic. There weren't any, really. Okay, the question is, how then do we respond? If everything belongs to God, and our futures are in God's hands, how do we respond to God? What's the right way to respond? Well, the right way is to give. So, since everything belongs to God, and your future is in God's hands, the answer is to give. Now, if you're new to Emmanuel Church, if you're not a Christian, you might be thinking, oh no, here we go again. Right, the church, all they're after is your money. Well, no, it's nothing as insignificant as that. We're after something far, far more than just your money. And actually, God is after something far, far more than just your money. Yes, today there is quite a bit of giving that we're trying to encourage people to do, but actually, there's something that you need to give which is far, far more. And it's something we've all got. Now, I want you to help me to think, what's the right gift? Get the right gift. I am not the best at buying gifts. And I need you to help me to see whether I've got the right gift for various people, all right? So I've got some gifts in here, in this battered old suitcase. Don't worry, the suitcase isn't a gift. I'm not that bad. I'm fairly bad, but I'm not that bad. Okay, so, get the right gift. Here we go. First one is going to be for present for a toddler. Now, I thought, toddlers, they quite like being out in the garden. Therefore, I thought, how about these? Some secateurs. Good gift for a toddler? If you're nodding now, I am very worried about you. Don't go near the back over there, all right? There are loads of children. Yeah, no, terrible gift to give, I think you're telling me. No, no, you shouldn't give that to a little child. Okay, next one. Okay, wedding. We've got a wedding that we're going to soon. And I thought, wedding couple, you know, maybe setting up their new home. So therefore, I thought we'd get them something special for their home. Something that will make their home look really good. Really fantastic. I've thought this one through. I thought we could get them this. Dust pan and brush. Now, you may notice it's a little bit dirty, but you've got to try them out, haven't you? You've got to make sure that the gifts work. What do you think? Good gift? Some people are thinking yes. They're thinking enviously, thinking yes, that dustpan and brush, I could do with that. Offers afterwards, that's fine. Generally, no, that would be a terrible gift, wouldn't it? Yeah, not a good gift. Okay. Let's go for another one. I think you can see the theme of where we're heading here. Birthday. Birthday gift. We've got a birthday in our family coming up this week. And I know everyone needs these. You've got to have socks. Oh, yeah. No? No. Pongy? Yeah, you are right. They have been used. So maybe not. Okay, not socks. Last one. Last one. You're going to like this one. This one I've got right. Let's say you're visiting someone in hospital. All right. Hang on. How about that? What do you think? It's a good gift, isn't it? They can amuse everyone else in the ward. They can put it on, they go, ha-ha! Doctor on your rounds. Look at me. Edwin, would you like to see people on your rounds wearing these? No, maybe not. Okay. What do you think? Good gift? Yeah. Yeah. It's a bit more mixed, that one. I think you should try it out. Watch out for me if I ever have to come and visit you in hospital. Okay, so those gifts, probably not the best. There are other gifts that you should probably take. Okay, what's the right gift to give to God? So give what? Okay, have a look in the verses. But you're going to have to go back one page. I'm afraid you're going to have to turn back a page to page 433. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 5. So page 433. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 5. Now notice what David asks for. Does he say you must all give this amount? You must all give 10%? You must all give 100 quid? You must all give whatever? Look what he says. So, you actually start in the middle of a sentence, but don't let that worry you. So it says, for the gold work and for the silver work and for all the work to be done by the craftsmen. Now, who is willing to consecrate himself today to the Lord? What does David say that they should do? That they should give themselves. Not just their money, not just some of their possessions, not just some tins and some packets of rice, but that they should give themselves to God. And it's almost like David's saying, look, if you do that, the money will take care of itself. If you give yourself to God, then of course you'll want to give money to the temple. So he's saying, when you give yourself, and that's the challenge for us today as well, give the right gift. Give yourself. And so the question for us is, will we do this? Have we done this already? To give yourself to God. Given that everything belongs to God, and therefore you belong to God, and your future is in God's hands, the right thing to do is to give yourself wholly to God. I'm going to lead us in a prayer now, where we do that, where we commit ourselves to God. So let's just bow our heads to pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for what you reveal about yourself in your word. Thank you that everything belongs to you. Thank you that our futures are in your hands. And therefore, Father, please would you help us to give ourselves to you. Father, we do give ourselves to you, to live for you every day. And we thank you that because of Jesus, we can look forward to living with you forever, for those who put their trust in you. Father, please help us, each one of us, to give ourselves wholly to you. Amen.